of thinking, and I've been blessed in that thinking. I'm going to tell you, it was not this, it was this. There was conscious thought coming to give me an understanding of some things, and I was pressed to give you a witness that's happened to me, and I will talk about that this morning. We've been talking about this conscious and conscience. And this is the one we say, you know, hey, my conscience bothered me because of something that was done or whatever. This one is just us being awake, not being unconscious. Or you remember when the Bible says that we should all pray and not faint? Okay. What it's talking about is this. When you faint, you take a fleshly thought, it brings fear, and you faint. Does that make sense? This is the fainting here, is when you relate the consciousness that you have, being awake or aware, to something in your world that brings you either consternation or fear or pain or whatever, that's when you faint. And when you're fainting, you're moving away from the thought of God to the thought of the flesh. That's why you faint. Does that make sense? So now whenever you read that word in the scripture, you understand what the fainting means. Okay? We should all pray and not faint. We should have a mind that we're not going to faint, but that we have a hope here. So that will work against the faint. If you have a hope in the things of the Spirit, it will work against the fainting. Being suddenly put into a fear, being suddenly put into pain and stress, suddenly put into depression. You see what I mean? All of those things. So if you can remember, now, here's this a good word here, this remember. What is remembrance? What is a memory? A memory is retained thought. Isn't that true? It's a thought you retain because it's something you remember about that memory that causes you some type of event, whether it's good or evil, because there's good ones, right? How many of you say, you know, hey, I've had a thought in my mind, we're going to take all our kids to Disneyland. Well, it's a good event. That may be something I'm talking about physically here. I'm just trying to relate it for something to you. It's a good event, and it's a good memory because the whole family was together. You see what I mean? On a trip or whatever it may have been. But also, you have to remember, as being in the flesh, you always think negative more than you think positive. Is that a true statement? When you're in the flesh, you always think more negative than you do positive. We always think of darkness first. We always think of the negative first. There was a guy that was a psychologist that used to say this, for every negative thing you say to somebody, think of 7 good things to say. I thought it was unusual that he chose the number 7. It was very important that he chose. He said, you say something negative, even to your children. If you say a negative thing to them, there has to be 7 things positive that you have to say. I think it's a good thing. 7 good things against every negative, right? Righteous man falls how many times? It's a very important concept. So something you can think about. If you're a boss and you have employees, you may have to say a negative thing to them. How you didn't quite do this right, didn't do that right. But then also think of the things they do well and give them credit for that. It doesn't always have to be the number 7. This guy said that. But, you know, think of some things that they have done well. And make sure you always balance this, that it's not always negative. You work for somebody that always knows the negative all the time. Isn't that true? It's always the negative. Ceci's been in that situation. Always the negative. So what happens is that you have to come to a place where you understand how your conscience works and what being conscious means. Okay? Let me read some things to you. It's very important before I go into this witness. Now, I think it's Hebrews 10, starting at verse 11, I think. Now, listen to this. You may not think this relates right off the bat, but I want you to listen to me. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. Right? Think about what I'm going to say. We all had a thought, a religious upbringing or a religious thought of how we thought God was. And every time those sacrifices were made for us and what we thought was doing good for God, it could never take the sin away because we never had the true understanding. Does that make sense? You were your own priest. You were doing your own intercession, and that's why the sin remained. It could never go away because you never employed God in what you were trying to get rid of. You understand what I'm saying? So you were your own priest. You do that all the time. You start thinking in your mind all the time, I know what this is, I know what that is, so I'm making a decision about how I'm going to handle this. What if I told you you can't handle it? What is that thing Jack Nicholson said in that movie? You can't handle the truth, right? That is true. If you're in a worldly thought, you cannot handle the truth of God coming to you because you're staying in the worldly thought. You have to come out of that worldly thought, go into a spiritual thought, and allow God to bring the understanding of it to you. Does that make sense? Then you can handle some truth. Otherwise, you'll just get offended. How many times have you given truth to somebody and they get offended and they walk away and it makes a big wall between you and them? How many times has that happened? Has it happened in marriage? Has it happened on the job? Has it happened between parents and children? Between children and children, siblings? It's happened among all of us because we had no understanding of what God wanted us to do in that situation. Isn't that true? And we've all suffered it. We had no idea what God wanted us to do in that situation because we were following our own conscience or we were in our own fleshly state of what we thought being awake and aware was. Oh, I'm aware of this. I'm aware of how this is working with me. How come your life doesn't change then if you're aware of it? If you're so aware of it, why does your life not change? Why are you still going through the same negative things, the same things that you think all the time that bring you hurt and pain? The remembrance, the memory, the retained memory of things that hurt you. And you dwell on this and never dwell on this. Does that make sense? You dwell on that retained thought of pain and hurt, and you never come to the hope that, you know what, God is able to do all things. He can change me from this person that can only remember the negative and the pain to one that has hope in all things, and that I know that I can be, in his eyes, his son, his family, his daughter, whatever it may be, in God. If you're in God, what things here can hurt you still? What things here can still hurt you? Gosh, can I go to that now? I need somebody to do this for me. You know where it says neither height nor depth nor life nor death nor all that stuff? I think it's the 8th chapter of Romans. If you'll get that for me and read. This is what it says, shall anything separate me from the love of God? Can anything separate you from the love of God? If you're in God, nothing can separate you from him except your self. If you don't believe in him, if you don't think he can heal you and come to you and take every pain you've ever had away, then the pain will remain. It will always remain. God is the only thing that can take it away because we're dealing with spirits. Okay. Did you have your hand up, Gail? Okay. Can you read that real loud into that thing? I want it to go on there. They say sometimes they can't hear some of our readings, so.
Okay. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So nothing can separate you from the love of God. You notice it says angels in there? Even an angel can't separate you from the love of God. What type of angel are we talking about? We're talking about a wicked angel, aren't we? We're talking about a seven-headed dragon. We're talking about a Satan. We're talking about a Lucifer. These things cannot separate you from the love of God. In fact, God will give you understanding of those things to where you can overcome them, and they no longer have power over you. Isn't that true? This is the power of this. So continuing to read where I was at. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, this is what I love about this. If you're going to be a son of God, if you can believe the word I'm speaking to you and understand that you're a son, you're going to bring all enemies under your feet too. Because if he's the son and did it, and we're sons following and in his footsteps, can we bring all enemies under our feet? Yes. Because the same power that exists in him exists in us. And it exists in us through this hope, through this belief, through this faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of, what are you hearing right now? So automatically, this is what you have to stop and think. You're sitting here thinking you're hearing words. You're hearing more than words. You're hearing spirit, because what do we keep saying over and over again? What are thoughts and words? Every time you speak, thoughts and words are spirit. When you say, well, what if I'm just saying I'm going down to Circle K, I'm going to get me a soda and come back? It's still a spirit to that, because you know why? Let me show you what it is. It's an intent. That's your intent to do something. That's your motive, is it not? So even something as simple as that has spirit to it. Here's the thing. You wouldn't get up and move and get in the car and drive, start it up, drive, go the distance, come back, buy it, do everything, if there wasn't an intent. So every thought, every word is spirit. Now that you understand that, what should we speak toward one another? Should we speak negative things or positive things if everything has a spirit? Ah, now does that make sense? What about the memory then? Every negative memory that comes back to you, you have to speak to it. Every hurt that ever hurt you, you have to speak to it. What would you speak to? Would you still speak your words to it? Or would you speak the words you've learned of understanding of God? Because there's power in his words. It is spirit. When I'm speaking right now, you know what I visualize? I visualize from heaven coming down the Spirit of God in an angel going through and touching every one of you. And this means that the words I speak are not just words. They are the Spirit of God, because thoughts and words are spirit. It touches you. It will do what it's going to do by the grace of God in you, because it was spoken from heaven to you. Forget the image it came through. It's the will of God for you to hear these things. It's the will of God for them to go into you. It's the will of God for it to heal you. If it heals you, then you become a better person. Even here, you become a better person in the terrestrial. You become absolutely the best person in the celestial when you make it to that, right? So this is the thing we're trying to get across to you. So believe the words you're hearing now. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, because it's spirit. It's spirit going into you every time it's being spoken. Think of it that way. Okay, now continuing on this. So it says, but after this man he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's what we're going to do. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So, how many of you in here still think you're not perfect because you have so many different things that you think you do wrong, or you're imperfect, or you think something's happened to you that makes you less than perfect? All these, how many think you're still not perfect? In God's eyes, you are. So you lie to yourself every time you say you aren't. I'm going to say it again. In God's eyes, he's already seen the perfection in you. Because if you believe his word, it perfects you. Let me read this again. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them. Who's the them? There you go. He has already perfected them. By his sacrifice on the cross in your world, he has perfected you. Now, if you don't believe that perfecting, then you continue to live by the flesh and there's no salvation to you, you still suffer the pain. You see where our belief works in this? You have to believe the words that are coming forth. You believe them, the power of the Spirit in them starts to already heal and activate. Does that make sense? That's for all of us. Okay? Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So now it's not you flipping through a book all the time trying to figure out what God's trying to say to you. What did he do? He wrote it here. Gee, do you think that was done by the Spirit? You think the pen of the Spirit spiritually wrote it in your heart? Yes. Then you won't forget it. Then it comes at the time that it's needed. You see how I'm talking about this? Because it's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on what you premeditate to say. It's dependent on what the Spirit of God wants to say at that time. Does that make sense? And then the Spirit speaks to you, and you get hope, and you overcome that thing that's been giving you so much pain. You think God knows your pain? You think God knows your inner workings? You think he knows your world? You think he knows the things that are going in there that make you feel bad or depress you or whatever? You think he knows? You think he knows the fear that's in you? You think he knows all those things? Do you think he's comfortable with that remaining in you? He's not. God does not like for people to be tormented out of their control. You understand what I just said? In other words, you don't understand God. You're trying to do things by your own flesh, by your own thought, and you're being tormented by it. And God says, I don't like that. I want to give you peace and even more peace if you understand me and know. Some of us don't have peace because we toss and turn on our beds at night. We have nightmares. We have things that worry us. We're under stress all the time. There's no peace because we don't understand God. Does that make sense? We don't understand them. But what if I can bring you understanding? What if the Spirit of God through this tongue can bring you understanding? Wow. That makes a difference, doesn't it? So here's the thing. This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, wait a minute. The memory's not retained, is it? In God. God says, you're my son. I don't think about what you did wrong. I'm thinking about what you're doing right toward me. How you're believing me, how you're trusting me. That's what I dwell on. I don't dwell on what you did wrong because I already sent my son to die for that. So there's nothing that I'm applying to you. What I'm trying to get you to see is that you apply it to yourself and you make yourself feel bad because you think you're a sinner. And you continue to think that because people tell you you're always doing something wrong. Or they tell you you should have done it this way. They're always telling you the negative, negative, negative. And then you say to yourself, well, I must be a pretty bad person because of the influence of that spirit. Remember, when people start telling you things like that, is it a spirit? Words and thoughts are spirit. Is it a spirit coming that they're putting into you, they're transferring to you? It's time out for receiving all that negative stuff. It's time out for having hope in God now. Have the hope in God and understand that whatever they speak to you does not have to be. It's not the truth. What you want is the truth of God. Let him speak to you. Let him speak. This is what God's trying to get across to us. So I want to go back to 15, where it says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. I'm going to write it on your heart. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be so close to you that you can't separate me from you. I'll be in you. When you walk, I walk. When I walk, you walk. When I talk, you talk. He said, I'm going to be there. I will not be far from you. I will be with you. He gave us that promise. Now, where remission of these is sin, there is no more offering for sin. It already said, this man, this one time, he did it. He took care of it all. You don't have to offer any more things for sin because you're walking with him. Okay? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. When his flesh suffered, that means you didn't have to suffer anymore in yours, if you believe it. If you believe it. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Wow. He wants to wash you. And you notice this is the conscience that's spelled like this. He wants your consciousness, this conscience, to be based on his spirit. It's not you determining whether you did right or wrong. It's him guiding you and letting you know. And even in the wrong, he'll help you overcome it. Isn't that a good, that's a good deal, I think. Even if something is wrong, he'll still help you overcome it. He doesn't condemn you. He just says, okay, let's work on this together. Let's get over this thing. That's what God says. That's his way of doing it. But the flesh says, oh no, oh no, I messed up. I did this, I did that. I'm not right. My thoughts aren't right. I'm not good. Every time you tell yourself you're not good, remember it's something lying to you. Something lying to you. God conceives you as a precious thing. He looks at you as his creation. He looks at you as part of him. So you're going to call part of God not good? See how much the devil has fooled you? How much these thoughts have fooled you into thinking you're not good? You're part of God. He says you are. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. He says, you're like me. That's what Jesus says. You're like me. You don't think that, though. That's the problem. You don't think it. You're like him. As long as you have this hope, as long as you have that faith and belief, you're like him. As long as you're obedient to the word of God, you're like him. It's when you step out of that, that those things aren't true. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're reaching for something outside of God, and you shouldn't do that. Stay in God. Stay in the anointing of God. Let him surround you by it, and then you will be blessed. Your understanding will be great. Your thoughts won't torment you anymore. There is a deliverance to the people of God. There's a rest to them. Does that make sense? Okay, let me take you to something else now. And I want you to think about why I'm reading these things. I'm not even going to tell you where I'm at. You'll recognize it. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, people that believed in Christ, whether they were men or women, might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. So where was the light from? And he fell to the earth and heard a voice. This is what I want you to catch. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. It'll become clear later. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. Wow. Saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But he heard a voice, didn't he? Okay. Now I'm going to read from another scripture. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Two things I want you to remember. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Is there a voice speaking again? And then Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So there was a voice there too, wasn't there? And he moved with what that voice told him to do. He heard a voice, knew it was God, and moved. So here's what I wanted to tell you today. Years back, even in religion, I was sitting on a pulpit in a church. And as I was sitting up there, there was a pastor up preaching before me. There was an elder on this side of me and a deacon on this side of me. And as I sat on that podium, I heard a voice. And the voice said, go. And so I turned to this gentleman over here. His name was Elder Edwards. I said, what did you say? He said, I didn't say anything to you. I said, okay. Because I thought that's where it came from. So I went back to listening to the pastor. A couple seconds later, here comes his voice again. Go. Only it's more emphatic this time. Very clear. So I looked at the deacon that was sitting on this side of me. I said, what did you say? And he looked at me and he said, I didn't say anything to you. And I looked back at the elder on this side. He said, I didn't say anything to you. So I'm sitting there thinking, what is this? I know I'm not going crazy. I'm hearing this very distinctly. And then the third time, it says, go. Only it was loud. It was very clear. And it said, go. And I sat there for a minute. Then I busted out crying. Because I knew it was the voice of God. I had heard the voice of God. He spoke to me like he spoke to Samuel. And Samuel didn't understand at first and went and asked Eli, did you call me? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Happened a second time. Eli, did you call me? I didn't call you. And Eli told him, the next time if you hear this again, say, yea, Lord, here am I. And the third time Samuel heard it, he said, yea, Lord, here am I. And God appeared to him. So my witness is that I heard the voice of God telling me to go. I had to leave where I thought was comfort and go to a place that I did not know. And we went out and we tried several things. We joined a couple of different organizations, joined ourselves with other people. Even to the point we had a church here in Yuma, we were joined with another pastor at the river, had a building and everything, had the whole deal. But God had told me to go, and I continue to seek after truth. One thing that as I went on this journey, God would say, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. He went through several things. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. And then somebody came and spoke something to us, and it caught my ear. And he offered this other person a chance. He said, I'll fly you up to Chicago so I can talk to you. Not me. He was talking to somebody else. I'll fly you up to Chicago and I'll talk to you about it. But this person was offended by what he said. Offense at the word of God. But later on, I called this person and said, yeah, I want to hear more about this. And he was going to pay for that other person's way to go up there. He didn't pay for mine. I had to get the money together. We did, and I flew my wife and I to this place, and we sat there, and we talked, maybe to 3 o'clock in the morning every morning for about 3 or 4 days straight. Sleep a little bit during the day, get up, talk some more all day, talk all night, go to bed, and do it again. And it just kept going that way. And I kept saying things like this. Well, if that's true, that means everything that I thought I knew. Well, if that's true, everything I thought. He said, yep, that's it, bro. I was dumbfounded. All this time I had spent thinking I knew God, it came to the conclusion I did not know him. But the witness that told me to go knew that already. And it knew where it was going to lead me and guide me to where now I can stand in that place and understand why he told me to go. Oh, there was a journey for Abraham too, wasn't it? Didn't he wander through those lands for a while? It wasn't immediate. It was not immediate. He wandered for quite a while until God said, this is the place. Wherever you walk now, this is the place that this is going to belong to you and your generations. But he left not knowing where he was going to go. And we did the same thing. We did the same thing. And it's evident because we did it. There's witness to everything I'm saying. People still living that know this. And we left. And we did. And the power of God has been manifested since then. Now, there was a man that I met for the very first time when I went to Chicago. Very first time meeting him. And he walked up to me, and this man introduced him to me. And the way he introduced me was wrong, but he said, this is our prophet. And the person looked at him like, no, you know, but still, that's what he said. He said, this is our prophet. So anyway, but the guy said, hey, my name is Rick Rush. Nice to meet you. And he was held onto my hand. I shook his hand, but he held on to it. And he said, he looked at me very closely. And he said, there you are. God in heaven, there you are. There you are. There you are. God showed me you. He showed me. Later on, not then, he told me, he said, when he showed you to me, I was pulling you up out of a pit. I said, oh my God. So God sent somebody, answered prayer, because we always prayed, lead us to the truth. Lead us to the truth. We prayed that for years, 20 years, 25 years. Lead us to the truth. And he did. He's answered some other prayers for me recently. I prayed for 3 years for something to happen. It came to pass last month. Things don't always come fast. But what God is doing is, do you still have this? Do you still have the hope? Yes, I still have it. You know what? I believe I can do all things through Christ. People say, wait a minute, you're pretty arrogant. No, I'm not, because it's not me. I believe God in me can do every single thing he says he can do. I believe that. That's just the way it works. So recently I had another witness a few months ago. And I'm in a cistern. And it's black. It's dark. And I'm buried up to my armpits in mud. But the mud is loose. And I can feel creatures moving around my legs. And things moving and crawling on me. I can tell the walls are made out of earthen things. They're bugs, snails, centipedes, everything crawling on those walls. But it's completely dark. And then all of a sudden I look up and there's like a little small round light way up there. And I see the light get blocked a little bit, because somebody puts their head in the circle of the light way up there. And they holler at me, said, put these things under your arms, these rags under your arms. Hold your arms, put them under your arms. I mean, just commanded me, put them under your arms. And I felt this rope drop down, this thing drop down, these rags, and I grasped for them, because that's not a good feeling, having things crawling all around you and things crawling. It does not feel good, and you're in complete darkness. Now, I could have been screaming in terror, but you know what I think kept me calm? Knowing the Lord. In other words, wherever you're at, God has you there for a purpose. If you can think of that and know that there's a purpose in you being where you're supposed to be at that time, no matter how bad it looks, you have to understand that God's going to get something going to pull you out of it. He's going to do it, not you. It's just like Brian said, he saw the head of that serpent. It was like a truck. And for an instant, there was what? Terror. But then God reached down, sent his angel, and pulled him straight up into the heavens. Because God is always there to help you. Always. It's when you feel the most alone is that when he's actually there. And you know what's making you feel most alone? This thing in the flesh is telling you God has left you and that you are alone with your thoughts, with the things that you go through. God's not concerned. That's what it tells you. It tells you that all the time. But really, it's a lie. God gave his life because he was concerned. The only life he ever inhabited in the flesh, he gave it because he was concerned. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He loved you so much, he was willing to die for you to have this hope. How much does he love you? It can't be measured. I'm telling you, it can't be. It's greater than what you can measure. So I put the things under my arms, and it got pulled tight. And slowly, it was like it was very strong because the muck was holding me. And he had almost sucked me up out of that thing. But what was pulling me up was very strong, very strong. And it sucked me up out of that thing. And as I got closer toward the top, the light got bigger because I was coming near the opening. And so it got bigger and bigger. And then I finally saw what was pulling me up. It was this huge black man, huge, muscles everywhere, huge. He was absolutely huge. And he was pulled me up out of that thing. And I looked at him. It was Rick. Done. I was done. I looked at him, didn't look like Rick, but I knew it was. And when I told it to him, when I had the dream, he said, bro, you may think it was me, but that God showed you that because it's something familiar. But he said, it was Lord himself pulling you up out of there. God himself yanked you out. So now I have a witness of what was witnessed to me 18 years ago. Now I have it. You try to take it from me. See what happens. It's real, guys. People say, it's a fairy tale. Not if you lived it, not if you experienced it. What are you going to do? You're going to tell me my experience is not true? God rescued me, pulled me up out of a pit, out of a dark place. If he'll do it for me, will he do it for you? What am I? Why am I so special? I'm not special. It's because I believe God that makes me special. Any believer in God, God comes and he rescues you. Did God move by faith? Always, didn't he? Here's the thing. Even when Jesus was talking, there was a Syrophoenician woman that came and said, Lord, my daughter's vexed with the devil. I need you to heal her. And he said, but she was Syrophoenician. She was Gentile. He said, oh, it's not good to give the children's meat to dogs. He called her a dog because Gentiles were considered unclean people. And so he called her a dog. You know what she said? She didn't get offended. You know what she said? She said, yay, Lord. But even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Oh, my God. Whew. He said, that's it. Your daughter's healed. Go home. She's healed. You know why? Faith. He said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. You have some faith. Go, your daughter be healed. She's healed. Wow. The centurion, Lord, I have a servant that I love. But I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. I'm also a man of authority. When I tell someone to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. I'm a centurion. I'm a leader of the army. And I know what it is to have authority, but I see that, say, I'm paraphrasing, I see that same authority in you over things that we have no control over. He said, you just speak the word and I believe it because I know you have the authority. You speak the word and my servant's going to be healed. I believe that. And Jesus said again, oh my God, what faith is this? I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. In other words, my people that should have the faith don't have it. But this Gentile will come up and say something like that. What am I going to do? That's faith. So what did he do? Healed the man's servant. How'd the man know? He was on his way home. And they said, oh, you don't have to bother Jesus anymore. He said, why? He said, your servant's healed. What hour did it happen? He told him the hour. The same hour I spoke to Jesus. And on his way home, his servant was already healed. tell me God's not good. So is prophecy working? Oh, most assuredly. Can a word of prophecy be preached to you and then it can come to pass if you believe it? Oh, most assuredly. So what I'm trying to tell you is this and this, we're explaining the difference, aren't we? You don't have your own moral compass. Man is fouled up. He is messed up beyond belief. Anytime you think you know what's right or what's wrong, you're still messed up. You don't know. The only way you can ever know is through the Spirit of God. You let God be your moral compass. You let the Spirit of God lead you. And that way you won't make mistakes. And then in your consciousness, you know what, like I said, we talked about feigning, about being unconscious and so forth. You're not aware of anything when you're unconscious, are you? But when this Spirit comes, guess what? You're awake and aware. You think you're awake and aware here. You're not. You think you understand why you're conscious and why you're sitting there and why you're thinking, whatever. What if I told you it's all a big fiction in your mind? All of you sitting here thinking you understand what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your world right now, what if I told you that is a big, big deception? None of you understand what's actually going on in your world right now. What if I told you that? What if I told you there are deceptive things and seducing things that are working in your world to make you not believe God? What if I told you that there are things that are trying to knock away your faith? What if I told you there were things that are trying to take away all of your hope, but you're not even aware of it because you're in darkness and you're asleep? You're asleep right here. You're not awake. You think you are. You think you're awake and aware, but you're asleep. How do I know that? Because the fruit of how you act every day shows me that you're still not aware that God is there. And that all you have to do is reach for him, take hold of him, and then your whole life will change. It will change. And the fruit of it will be made manifest to all. When the disciples changed, and he took and told them to go to Jerusalem, did everybody know there was a difference in those disciples? When they became apostles, did everyone know that that was a change? It's going to be the same way with you. Just believe God. That's all I'm telling you. The man in the song talked about all those different things that God is doing. That you have no breath unless he breathes his breath. You catch it? Every breath you take is because there's a blessing of God attached to it. How many people are that used to walk around here are dead now and in the grave, no breath? But your blessing is he's given you another one and another one and another one. This is very powerful, guys. Don't let this memory retain thought. You know who brings that? The man of sin. He tries to always show you your negative in you. And things that have happened to you that were bad and whatever. And you dwell on that. And you dwell on the negative instead of the positive. And when we say positive, we're not talking about Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you believing the Spirit for what it is. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are. So can you be a son if you refuse to be led? No, you can't be. You want to be free? Let this Spirit lead you and you will be free. You will be free. Let it lead you. Well, I don't know the way. Listen. Every time we speak, listen. Every time we gather together, listen. These are words being written in your heart right now by the Spirit. I believe that. I see it going out and the angel is writing it in your hearts. The pen of the ready writer is writing it in your hearts. It's just a matter of you believing it. Does that make sense? Hear the voice. Hope you got something out of what we said today.